The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Sarah and Steve Berger met the God of all comfort when their son died from a car accident.
So you really have to walk in obedience. I think that's one of the first things. It stretches you to really say, okay, Father, I'm willing to be obedient and trust that quite possibly you have a bridge for me between heaven and earth.
Yes.
And you're going to communicate and comfort me in ways that I would never have imagined or thought.
Yes. Hello, everybody. I'm Tammy Trent, and this is Randy Robison, and welcome to Life Today. Today's guests hold a very special place in my heart. Pastor Steve Berger is my pastor in Franklin, Tennessee, and his wife, Sarah. They have meant so much to me personally on my own journey of healing through the tragic death of my husband 21 years ago. Who could have ever imagined that a number of years later, they would face their own tragic loss? I'm so glad that you guys are here today to bring life and to bring hope and to talk about an incredible book that Sarah has just written, Hope in the 11th Hour. This book is so good. Mm. It is such a treasure to me, and I know it will be for so many people. So can you, Sarah, take us back to the summer of 2009?
2009, my son Josiah came downstairs and said he was taken off for Sonic to visit some friends leaving for college, kissed me on the cheek, left, and probably about 20 minutes later was in a fatal car accident. So the shock of that just thrust us into a journey that we would never, ever imagined we'd have to enter into. But this whole book is strictly about the comfort that God will faithfully meet you with when something like that happens in your life.
Yes. So, I think that's what it's done for me when I picked it up and started reading. Like, I'm 21 years into my loss, right?
Yes.
So I can tell people, like, God has healed my life.
Yeah.
I'm on the other side.
Yeah.
And yet, Sarah, when I picked up this book and started reading through it, I was like, oh, it just, I could feel like this something that was just like, ooh, it was grabbing me. But it was also, not that I wasn't healed, but it was like a new revelation for me. To think more on heaven, more on the body of Christ, more on the things that wait for me, that are there, that the veil is so thin. And so often, those of us that have lost, we also think just so much on our loss and the pain right now and this right here and what I don't have here, rather than focusing on what it waits, what I do have. And I think for me, as I went through some of those pages, that is what I remember leaning into, thinking this book is going to especially help somebody that feels stuck in their pain. They can't get out. What would you say to the person that has hung on to pain, loss, disappointment, heartache for so long and cannot see the other side of that? Like, God is not a God of hope. He's not going to redeem this. I will never be restored. This is all it will ever be. How do you speak to someone that just feels like they're in that place?
I think that you have to be willing to trust the Word, to trust that He says in the Word to set our hearts on things above and not things here on earth. He says, I mean, He speaks broadly about life, 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 that He came to give us an abundant life, right? And and He came to defeat death, hell, and the grave. So we have to train up our minds, take thoughts captive, and be willing to entertain our loved ones as being alive.
Yes.
This is why He came.
That's right.
Okay, to make a way for eternal life. This is why He was born, died, and resurrected to give eternal life. So you really have to walk in obedience. I think that's one of the first things. It stretches you to really say, okay, Father, I'm willing to be obedient and trust that quite possibly you have a bridge for me between heaven and earth, and you're going to communicate and comfort me in ways that I would never have imagined or thought.
Yes, absolutely.
I love the hope in that, and I want to explore that a little more. But Steve, you were pastoring at the time?
Yes, sir.
I'm curious about some of the emotions. Obviously, there's the shock, there's the grief. Was there any almost sense of betrayal by God? Like, God, I've given my life to you, and where's your hand of protection? You know, what all did you go through?
Yeah, so thank God, first of all, Randy, we were rooted and grounded in the realities of heaven prior to the accident.
Yeah.
And so having a really good working knowledge of people who have gone to heaven are alive and they're active and they're aware. And so that helped a bunch. Even in the beauty and the power of that, though, you're still going to have those moments of, but God, why?
Oh, I know.
Right, so 3 days in the hospital before we finally made the decision to honor Josiah's wishes to be an organ donor and say, okay, it's time to fully release him.
Wow. Even harder.
Even harder.
Yeah.
There was a moment, Randy, and it just doesn't get any more real or graphic than this, so forgive me in advance. My prayer closet is my shower. And I was sitting in the floor of my shower just days after this happened and was crying out to God and just saying, you know, Lord, I'm grieving what didn't happen. Marriage for my son didn't happen.
Right.
Having children,
right.
Like
right.
all the what ifs. And if I've ever heard God in my life, it was in the floor of my shower in total desperation where he said to me these words, I have more than made up for all of those things.
Hmm.
It hit me like a lightning bolt because it didn't need explanation.
Hmm.
I knew that what my son was experiencing in heaven right now, as God spoke that to me, so far surpassed any earthly things that we value, that what he was experiencing eclipsed it all, and that made me realize the God of all comfort is allowing me to get comfort by having eternal perspective.
Yeah.
So that really prevents real bitterness and hopelessness from setting in. Like Sarah said, you have to get your mind rooted in the things of God.
Yeah.
Christians in particular, we're not great at this, I must admit. We grieve culturally rather than scripturally. And it's time for the body of Christ to start making much of heaven and to start letting the power of heaven, the reality of God's word, touch us in our grief.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. How did that strike you?
Which part? All of it strikes me. It's like, it's he's so right. And, you know, I think the human side of me, it's just so much of the grieving, you know, for me, started in such a way, I understood heaven too and the value of heaven. I understood the first day that Trent was in heaven and that he was fully alive. Mm. Like, but I remember feeling kind of like, but what does this mean now? It was like, there's something big that God is doing. I mean, my feeling was more of that. I can remember I was in Jamaica when they were recovering his body in the lagoon, pulling it out. And I remember that feeling. I was probably shocked, but I also felt like, what are you up to, God?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, what is going on and what do I do with this? Like, there's a bigger story here. I don't know what it is, but am I going to be able to step into it?
Yeah.
And I think once I came home and the healing began and I could start to see the pieces coming back together again, I knew that God was going to do something with my story.
It wasn't for nothing.
Yes.
100%.
It wasn't in vain.
And I never felt that, Pastor, from day one. I knew that there was something more than this. So I almost tried to learn to also take my eyes off of myself as much as I could and the pain that I was feeling and look around for other opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And they came. And I think my healing came also in those opportunities when you'd see people come into Christ because of it.
Yeah.
And so it was all about eternal and all about heaven. It brought the story more alive to me. Even when I share it in events now and they think, oh, poor Tammy's got to keep talking about this, the story of loss. And I'm like, I feel so hopeful when I talk about it. There's a life when I talk about
story.
It. And I know you feel the same. Mm-hmm. And you've done that in this book. You tell so many spectacular stories. What is one of your favorite stories?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, it would have to be very early on when Josiah went to heaven. You know, the Lord teaches us to ask, seek, knock, and be relentless about it, to continue to ask, seek, knock. So I was asking the Lord, what is Josiah doing in the kingdom? Mm. I've parented this child for 19 years. I can't imagine that you wouldn't give me a hint as to what it might look like. And yet, Lord, whatever you deem is well for my soul, only you know what I need. But I kept asking, and within a week, possibly two, we found ourselves at church. A friend of ours approached who was Muslim, who's now walking with Jesus, but at the time he didn't know the Lord at all. And he walked up to us, he was a friend of Josiah's, and said that he had a dream with Josiah and that Josiah fishes. That Josiah has a job and Josiah fishes.
Is this something he did in life or enjoyed?
No.
That's what made it so unique.
And in the dream, Sammy saw a man in a robe with a staff standing down at the beach. And when Steve had said, Saya, you don't know how to fish, he goes, I know, but somebody's teaching me how. And they glanced, and it was Jesus at the beach raising a staff going, it's me. And so we inquired, like, Sammy, do you even know what fishing means in the gospel and being fishers of men? And he's like, I don't know anything about the Bible. All I know is Josiah has a job and Josiah fishes. And so years pass. I think it was about 8 years had passed. Still in relationship with Sammy and his wife, Zainab. And
not Christians, though.
Zainab had become a believer by this point. Sammy approached us and said that he had another dream with Josiah. And in that dream, Josiah asked, Sammy, when are you going fishing with me? And he knew the word by then. He'd been around believers in the gospel enough to know. And he's like, I don't know why I keep walking away from it. Because he literally walked away from Saya in the dream. The next day we had them over for dinner and at our own kitchen table, when I think about it, Sammy gave his life to Christ and he's never been the same. The next day we called to check on him and he goes, I'm different. So the Lord using dreams and our son, and, you know, in Job 33, it talks about how the Lord speaks this way and that, and men don't perceive it. And then he goes on to say that he speaks twice and three times to a man to save his life from the pit. And later in Job 33, how he commands nature and eagles and where they light and fly and all of those means the Holy Spirit uses to bring comfort, and yet people miss it. Miss it, and men doesn't perceive it.
And he speaks to men in the visions of the night.
Yeah, that's part of Job 33, and men don't perceive it. So, you know, I think that this book, the hope is that the Lord will use it as a holy crowbar to awaken all the comfort the Lord has been bringing all along, but I know and fear so many people miss it. They just think, oh, that was a coincidence. That was a coincidence, but it really was him moving in to bring comfort.
When the scripture says, Randy, that God is the God of all comfort, it's so easy to read that and just say, in magnitude, he's the God of all comfort. But we forget the fact that being the God of all comfort is also about variety, meaning
all.
He can comfort you in all kinds of different ways. If you have an eye to see and an ear to be and an ear to listen, he's working. He's giving us what we've affectionately called God nods over the years, where God just will send you signs that are meant to comfort, and it's out of the abundance of his allness.
I want to ask you about one of those, because you see those birds sitting there? Those cardinals? Do you know why we have cardinals there and we're giving them to our supporters that help us with our outreaches?
Robin.
My sister, Robin.
Wow.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
And for those who don't know, I lost my younger sister, been over 10 years now. She had, and the hard part, you know where it hit me the hardest? I mean, I hate funerals, but you kind of steal yourself through those. and hospitals because she fought cancer for many years. Mm. But the thing that got me the hardest, the most, that I had to leave the room, was when her oldest son got married and she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because I was grieving, like you said, the things that she didn't get to see. Yes. Those are hard.
They are hard.
But these birds have significance because she loved Cardinals, not just the St. Louis baseball team, which she did, but the birds themselves. And after that, my parents, I don't remember what they were going through, but it was really hard on them. And they saw a Cardinal, and it was like God was going, I'm still with you.
Yes. That's
right. She's okay.
Yeah.
I got her.
That's right.
Yes.
You have a similar story with a bird.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Oh, gosh. Randy, that's a loaded one.
I know.
It's pretty spectacular. Yeah. But the Holy Spirit kept speaking to me time and time again about eagles and predominantly Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Mm. They will mount up with wings as eagles. We know it, right? And posing, I thought, this idea of the saints in heaven flying, and not sprouting wings, not becoming angels, because they're not, they're altogether themselves.
Right.
I feel like there needs to be clarity there. But I had revisits time and time again, and again, the Lord will speak on repeat. Finally, it culminated one day when a golden eagle landed on the roof of our house.
Wow.
And it was such a shock that the kids, the family had heard me speak about this eagle stuff that was happening and how the Lord was ministering to me through it. And it coincided with Josiah being a warrior also mm. in heaven. It all makes more sense when you read the entirety. But I was begging Christ, like, okay, there's an eagle. He stays an hour and a half on the roof of our house. Mm. Like, that doesn't happen much, right?
Yeah, are they common where you live?
No, they're not. Golden eagles aren't. Now, no. Bald eagles are relatively common, but golden eagles aren't. And so I was begging the Lord, which seemed like enough that I'm with you, I see you.
Yes.
I commanded this eagle. I knew it's right there in Job that I commanded this guy to land on the roof of your house.
Wow.
So this is so interesting, you guys. All of a sudden, several hours later, I hear the Holy Spirit say, on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew. Mm-hmm. I just knew at Godspeed mm-hmm. what he was saying. I'm mm-hmm. giving you a physical example of how the saints in heaven are living. And
wow.
never have I thought of the Father, you know, the Lord's Prayer that way, that literally I'm giving you physical evidence about what's going on in the kingdom. See that eagle up there? He didn't flinch when he was being dive-bombed by mockingbirds. He didn't flinch when the buzzards were circling him and the crows were harassing him. He never flinched.
Wow.
That's how your son is living in the kingdom.
Incredible.
And that's how you need to live
Amen.
Here on earth. So we've, and that revisits me almost mm. daily. Like, Sarah, I need you to be strong.
Amen, yep.
Yeah, come against
yep.
attack so frequently.
Yes.
Don't flinch. You already have victory.
That's
Do
right.
not give up
That's
your
right.
territory.
Yes.
But that guy, he stayed on the roof for literally an hour and a half.
Wow.
You get eagles, I get butterflies.
This, right.
Something's not fair.
He commands butterflies. He commands butterflies and cardinals and deer and nature.
Stunning.
He commands
yes,
it
yes.
to bring comfort and to speak to us.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
So much there. I would love people to get your book. In fact, we will give it to anyone
yes.
that supports the outreach today.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask for it when you make your donation. Mm-hmm. Hope in the 11th hour.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you're struggling right now and you're like, this is ministered to me and I really would like to talk to somebody, call that phone number right there.
Yes, that's right.
We have
yes,
a prayer
please.
Line available so that people can pray with you. And it's our way of expressing God's love to you, the viewer. But Tammy, I would like people to take just a second to watch
yeah.
an opportunity
mm-hmm.
for us to come together and share God's love with other people in desperate need. So take a look at this, and when we wrap up here, I've got one more question for you, Sarah. So,
okay.
so don't go anywhere,
Thanks, Randy.
But watch this and see how you can be an expression of God's love.
Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's a tenet of our faith. But as a believer, I can tell you I view my hope with a new perspective when I encounter people who have lost what they hold sacred. their children.
I want you to understand something about the people here. They tend to have quite a few children, up to seven in some of the families in some of these villages we've seen. And they typically will not all grow into adulthood. They'll lose them, and they're losing them the same way.
One of the most profound lessons I've learned from my parents is that we are blessed to be a blessing. At Life Today, we find people around the world in desperate need of a blessing. Many of them lack one of life's most basic needs.
To you and me, this is just dirty water. But to countless people around the world, this is the only source of water, the only thing they have to drink. And for far too many, this is death.
Life and death. It could not be simpler. Our hope in Christ challenges us to fight for life. And in this case, our path is clear.
This water is clean. It's drinkable. It's beautiful. It's nothing like the water we've seen around the world in places where children especially are dying of waterborne diseases. When you give this clean, pure water, you give them a chance at life. Let's give water for life. How do you do that? You go to the phone or you go online right now and join this beautiful outreach of Water for Life. Because the reality, Tammy, you've seen it. Mm-hmm. The reality is if we don't act and we don't act now, there's going to be another mother whose prayers turn into mourning.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. You know, we sound so desperate at times, right, when we're talking about this. We sound so desperate and we're trying to convey the story. The truth of it is it really is a desperate situation for these families that have no other choice. Some of the water sources are within the village. Some of them have to go miles away. And I promise you that every one of those water sources that I'm talking about right now are not a water source that I would ever consider drinking from or want my family to drink from. It's a desperate situation that we're talking about life or death. Water that gives life or water that could bring death. So it's very real, it's very urgent. And so I would ask you, if you'd consider, if you've never had a chance to do this before, I'm telling you, it's pretty amazing and it's life-changing to do something outside of yourself that is much bigger than you, that will change more lives than you could ever imagine, not just for a day or a month or a year, but for a generation, for years to come. If you would consider partnering with us today, joining with us today, I promise you that we will take everything that you're able to give and we will stretch it. We will make it work. We will change and impact the lives of so many all around the world. We have a plan. You don't have to have a plan. You just have to sow. Just give. We have a plan and we will make this thing work and we will stretch it out and we will bring life to so many that need it right this moment. Our goal is to drill 350 wells in 20 nations this year. I hope we go beyond that, but that's what our goal is. So for $48, you could give that today and it will provide water, clean water, fresh water for 10 people. If you can do $144, well, that will provide water for 30. And if you could actually give $4,800, could you imagine going in there and drilling a complete well for a village of about 1,000 people that will bring them water for life? You could do that. It's urgent. The need is urgent. We need you. If you're in a position to give, man, that would be amazing if you could do that. And I would be so grateful. We would be so grateful as a ministry, and we could really use your help.
I wish, Tammy, that everybody could have the experience we have and see what happens when we go in and we drill. You've seen the smile on a child's face, the dancing in the water.
Yes.
You have an opportunity to give life literally. And do know when we go in, wherever we go in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We give them water for life and we give them the water of life.
Amen.
So be a part today.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you The Birthright. This book is a liberating and life-changing celebration of your birthright as a child of the King. Discover the joy of coming home to your Father's warm embrace. With your gift of $100 or more, we'll also send you the Moments with Him mug set. These two beautifully crafted coffee mugs feature scripture on the side, the perfect way to start your day and reflect on the goodness of God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our new inspiring bronze sculpture, Consider the Birds, inspired by Jesus' words in Matthew 6:26. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Please go to the phone or go online. Make the best gift you can. We can offer hope like we've offered you on today's program. And if you ask for hope in the 11th hour, we will gladly send it to you. Stephen, Sarah, I got one last question, because why the 11th hour?
Yeah. In the midst of our story and our journey, the number 11 has showed up repeatedly. And really, one of the greatest gifts of hope we can give people are the words of Jesus Himself from John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live." And then it's like he pauses, Randy, and he says, "Whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Mm. And then he said, at Lazarus's funeral, "Do you believe this?" Because what you believe about Jesus and what you believe about life and eternal life that he offers you is going to dictate how you mourn and how you grieve and how you heal. We have a message of life for you today. Jesus came to give life. Your loved one who is in Christ is in heaven right now, more alive, more active, and more aware than you can imagine. We pray in the name of Jesus, who is resurrection and life, that that would life you today.
Yeah.
Call and get the book, request it, and we'll see you again. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys being
so
with
awesome.
Us.
Thank
see you next
Tammy.
Time.
Love you, honey.
Love
you too. Thank you.
Social justice is not activism. It is righteous action fueled by love.
Jennifer Rothschild, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.